This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is the QBT Podcast. Daddy, Dave, and Steve are awesome!
Yeah, I will see. That's the thing, man. Like, I'd always been a night owl beforehand. Not so much anymore since I had to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning every blasted day. So, yeah. It's lovely. The ability to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to work every day is just lovely. Not really. It's not lovely at all.
I did it for a long time, and once you get into the routine of it, it's fine.
Well, that's also better
than working overnight.
That's also the problem too, man. It's not as bad as working overnight. That's for sure. The whole point of like the whole problem for me is getting into the routine, and then like whenever I'm on vacation or on the weekend or whatever, my body still wants to wake up at like 5 something. So sleeping in for me is like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Which really isn't bad, but there's also days where, like Saturday morning, I might just want to sleep to like 9 or 10 or 11 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever. Not gonna happen.
No,
it's not gonna happen. I'm gonna wake up at like 7.
Your body is wired to do the other thing.
Oh yeah, exactly. Or like whenever I go on vacation, I'll wake up at, you know, dude. It was really bad whenever I went to California. Whenever I went to Anaheim for Celebration. You know, I was waking up at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Horrible. Waking up at like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, which was, you know, 2 hours less or whatever. So it's like 5-6 o'clock our time, but it's like 3-4 o'clock in the morning their time. There's not a thing you can do.
No.
You know, and it's like I'm waking up wide awake, can't go back to sleep because, you know, it's that internal alarm clock saying like, hey, you should wake up now. You should get up and start your day and blah, 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 blah. The only problem with all that is like, you know, right before you get to go back to work is whenever you finally have trained yourself going like, hey, look, you can actually sleep late. And that's whenever you're sleeping at like 9 or 10 o'clock.
And that's when you got to get back to work.
Yeah. That's whenever you got to adjust your schedule to get back to
work. Might as well just stay on your schedule.
Might as well, but I don't want to.
Speaking of routines, I don't know if you've noticed. We both are a person, people of habit. We have habits, good and bad. Yeah. And one of my habits when I come over here is this is a habit also. I mean, I look forward all week to coming out and say, hanging out with Dave, whether we're recording or not.
Yeah.
But one of my routines is I stop at this little gas station downtown, down the street from where you live.
Yeah.
And I always get, and I never drink this beverage 99% of the time. This is not something I would ever pick up, but because like the first time I ever came over here, I stopped and I grabbed it. It was a Peace Tea.
Okay.
I always get my Peace Tea. I open it up right when we start recording, so I have something to drink. Usually it's the Snowberry, the blue can. It's lovely.
Yeah.
Really fresh and energizing. It tastes like Snowberry.
Yeah.
So I can talk.
Oh, jeez.
You always got to take that. Well, I walk into the gas station.
Yeah.
And first, the guy behind the counter is a different guy.
Yeah, so it totally throws you off.
Okay, so I walk to where my spot is, where my Peace Teas are.
Yeah.
Guess what's not there?
The Peace Tea?
None of them.
Really?
Not just the Snowberry. Not even just the regular sweet tea or the lemonade tea or anything.
Yeah.
It's all gone.
Really?
So it threw me off.
Had they moved it or did they?
This is gone.
Really?
I am an obsessive compulsive to a certain extent.
Oh yeah.
I've realized the older I get, I've really looked back at things I've done in my life. I'm like, oh yeah, you've got issues with being compulsive and not just stopping something when you shouldn't.
Yeah.
This is one of them.
Yeah.
I checked every cooler. Well, there's your regular sodas. There's the Monsters. And so I'm like, okay, gotta have something.
Yeah.
I said, I could just get a Diet Coke or something, my normal drink of choice. I'm like, no, we're going to be dangerous. Because the episode title today is Let's Get Dangerous.
Yes, Darkwing Duck in it.
So I looked, and I saw this can.
Oh.
Screws Southern Soda, Hella Yella, Screwed Up Pineapple Soda, made with cane sugar, relaxation drink, and it's got DJ Screw on it in the state of Texas.
That's a hell of a name. Let me see.
And I really don't know if I made a good decision, but I'm going to.
Screw gonna, Southern Soda, Hella Yella, Screwed Up Pineapple Soda. Good grief, man.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I know it, right?
But I don't this know. Might be my new habit.
I officially don't know who DJ Screw is, though. Like,
you don't have to. Okay. He's on this can. Right. The guy behind the counter knew who he was.
Oh, really?
So I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if the place changed ownership or what, because I noticed that a lot of the people that worked there, I haven't seen there, but it's not like I go there very often. I'm kind of like you. Uh-oh. How was it?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It's not peace tea.
It's pineapple dry.
It's good. It's good. It's very mellow.
Yeah.
Beverage. Okay.
Should have got you like a Four Loko or something like that.
Yeah. I'd be knocking down all your Star Wars figures.
Yeah. You
get wired.
I'd have to throw you out then. Be like, Michael, get out of my house. Yeah. It's good times. Yeah, but I don't know, man. So what's been going on this week? I know you teased a little bit of a story a minute ago about that you actually had some alone time, I guess. Like,
it's weird.
Yesterday?
Because I'm always surrounded by somebody.
Yeah.
Like, most of the time, summertime at work, I'm alone, usually doing something. That's how I can listen to so many audiobooks and podcasts and stuff during the summer.
Yeah.
But like, most of the time at work now, I'm with somebody else, whether working on something in the shop or like Thursday, I spent all day chasing cows around a lot and trying not to get kicked.
Oh, no.
In certain places on my body, like my knees and elsewhere.
Yeah. We all like.
We were just going through vaccinating them. We put like 75 cows through the chute to vaccinate them and check them and make sure they're okay and give them, you know, worm them and.
Now that's a long day, too, for people that don't realize. 75 through a shoot in one day.
But then we had to do all the babies.
Yeah.
And send them through and vaccinate them and give them their shots. And we don't do the antibiotic thing or all the stuff, that hormone thing.
Yeah.
We're basically just giving them medicine to keep them from getting sicknesses that they're susceptible to.
Yeah. So you're vaccinating?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Oh, well, whatever. That's another subject.
I'm sorry. I just thought.
But yeah, so yeah, that was a long day. I went like 5 miles in a 100 square foot area, constantly moving.
Yeah.
And then my wife's got a friend that's coming in she's staying with us for a week.
Yeah.
Or about a week. She lives out in California. And yesterday they went. My wife, her friend, her sister, and another friend went to Fort Worth and spent the night down there. Went to a, you know, comedy club, went out to eat, did fun girls' night kind of thing.
Yeah. Whatever.
And that left me at home. Delilah's at grandma's.
Yeah.
Tristan, whenever it's just me, she just locks herself in her room and looks at her phone. Or actually, she studied all day for homework and college stuff. And so I was basically home alone.
Yeah.
And I have this feeling like, what the heck am I supposed to do?
Oh, yeah.
Because usually I'm busy. There's always somebody else I'm interacting with.
Yeah.
Like I've said before, I usually don't have time to sit down and pick a book up and read.
Yeah.
Because I just can't. It's not possible.
Yeah, you don't
have to. I can't just sit down and watch a TV show that I want to watch.
Yeah.
It's not something I know how to, because it's. This is the way we function as a family. It's not really going to happen unless it's like, oh, we're going to sit down to read.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Now is reading time. Everybody relax.
Yeah. Well, if Lila's in her room playing, anyhow.
And if
it sounds probably weirder than, it's not that weird.
No.
It's just life is busy.
And you even said before, like, if she gets too quiet, then you have to wonder what she's up to because she might not be out hitching down the road trying to get over to grandma's house or whatever.
So I had all this time available. And I'm like, what the heck do I do with it? Because it's terrifying to me. There's like, okay, there's this project I should be working on. I'm not going to do that. Or should be doing that, but I didn't have the right head. My head wasn't in the right place to do it. Then I was like, oh, I could sit down and read some comics.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. I didn't do that. I could sit down and just read a book I wanted to read. I didn't do that. I chose to finish Jim Butcher's White Knight.
Yeah, so
and I had 9 hours left when I started.
Yeah,
so all day long, and the beautiful thing about it is, instead of sitting down and being locked in a chair reading the book, I was able to accomplish so many other things while I was reading it.
Yeah.
Listening to it.
Yeah.
I did this whole project in our bedroom that's been needing done. Spent hours doing that. Had to go in the closet and rearrange things in there. That took a couple of hours.
Yeah.
All this stuff I accomplished while getting to enjoy this awesome book. Sitting there, decided I'm hungry. So I'm still reading a book. I'm going to go cook myself a burger. Oh, it is glorious. It is a glorious day. So, yeah, I could have done other things. Probably should have done some other things. But
yeah.
You know, I didn't even watch a movie. I put Heat in. I said, I'm going to watch Heat.
Yeah.
You know, De Niro and Pacino. I'm like, no, I'm just going to finish this book. And it took me till right before midnight to do it. And
really? I did it. So you did finish it off.
I did finish it. I set that goal. And, you know, I stayed busy doing other things. Sometimes I just lay on the couch listening. But there was very little amount of time that I was not reading the book.
Yeah,
and I never got tired of it.
Oh yeah, no, it's a good one. That's one of my. I always say that about the Butcher, about the Dresden Files books. Like I'm always like, oh, well, that's one of my favorites. White Knight really is one of my favorites, and it has one of my favorite scenes. I think that Butcher does like just beautifully in whenever they're entering the cave.
Yeah.
To where they're entering the cave of the vampire nobility, the White Court nobility or whatever, and they're sitting there waiting, and they've kind of like get their cue or whatever, and he slams his the wonder boom just like
he went to sleep.
Yeah, he slams his staff down on the ground and has a rolling flame carpet that they kind of stroll in.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah,
he's really good at that. But then I noticed one pet peeve is, okay, you're gonna know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
this is not gonna really spoil anything for anybody. If you want to read the books, you got to start several books before.
Oh yeah.
And by the time you get to it, you'll probably have forgotten what I'm saying. There's a moment in time that's like a crucial 17 seconds. There are 17 seconds before the bomb goes off.
Oh yeah.
He then proceeds to, in my head, there's no way all of the things that he said, he either thanks or says, and just a couple of sentences a couple of people say in that 17 seconds would have had to have taken forever. And there's another spot just before that when I'm envisioning this huge fight taking place, and the gangster and Harry, they're all over there talking, just having this conversation.
Yeah.
And I know that it's supposed to be like a big cave, but it can't be that big, I don't think. The way I see it in my head, it's not that big that we're just over here, we're gonna strategize and argue and talk about this, and, well, you should not have done that back to me back in the day.
Yeah. I've always kind of envisioned it as like actually like a large like cavern type.
It had to
thing
be really big.
Yeah. But yeah, I will say, and you might have missed it, but the thing that conversation whenever having with like the 17 seconds, and I only know this because I've listened to the book like probably like that one itself probably like five or six times or whatever. But like it's real quick. They mention that it's happening at the speed of thought.
Okay.
So it's not like, because he even says something about like the
when the kick of adrenaline hits, everything slows down.
Yeah. Well, it's not even that, because you know they're being pressed down by that guy's will or whatever. That's right. They're being pressed down by that guy's will, so they can't really move or they can't really talk or anything like that. But he's having a conversation at the speed of thought that's happening inside of his brain or whatever. And so it even kind of like mentions to where it's like, it seems like everything slows down for him, because it's like even it's referenced a couple of times where it's like a click thunk of the stopwatch, I guess, because somebody's got a timer or whatever, so that way they know whenever the bombs go off or whatnot.
Yeah.
So like that, and it says something about it to where it's like the whole conversation that he has with that person, being whatever you want to call it, because I don't want to spoil it either, because to me that kind of plays a big role of everything that happens within, what is it, like, I guess like three or four books or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that, crap, I forgot where I was going with that. I don't know. I can't remember, but it does reference it. So it does give a reason of why that 17 seconds is able to stretch into like 15 minutes a book, basically.
It's almost like they kind of entered another dimension.
Yeah, basically.
Time doesn't matter.
Yeah, just about like almost.
Time is kind of slow down.
Yeah, it wasn't. It necessarily never was slowed down. It was just like all this was happening at the speed of thought. Like it was like instead of just like sitting there, actually, you and I having to talk it out or whatever, it was like, you know, just knowing it basically.
Well, can I ask you two questions? One is at the end of the book, this being is gone.
Yep.
Is this being gone?
Yeah, it's gone.
Gone.
Yeah, it's gone. So,
okay.
Yeah, but
I was kind of hoping that something weird had happened and this being would come back.
Yeah, no, because you kind of like it's a character that you know is potentially horrible, but you almost build like a liking to the being almost as well. You know.
Well, she even tells him earlier in the book that I am not what you're projecting me to be.
Yeah.
I will be here for eternity and I will see all of you dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm appear sweet in your eyes because it's good for me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to help you out. And the things that he was able to do with this being's help were really amazing. So I wonder how he's going to go back to not having that help.
To not having that help. And that's one thing that, you know, you were referencing a spot that I really kind of dig because he sets it up really cool as in where he's like, I like it whenever authors do this to where it's like they're writing about this being that's like almost godlike or whatever.
Pretty much.
You know, they sit there and say like, you know, I was around for the creation of the stars. I've been around since time immemorial and you're nothing but a blip, a second on my screen, basically. And it's just kind of like one of those things that's like, ooh, it's kind of neat. It's pretty neat. It gets pretty interesting because you just finished White Knight and I'm trying to remember what's next after that. I can't remember if Changes is after that. Or
I had
not.
It. I'd looked the other day. Let me ask you. We'll look it up while I'm going to ask you another question.
All right.
Cal.
Oh yeah, that dude.
What's his deal? Does he come back big time later? I just wanted. You don't have to spoil it for me.
Yeah.
He is a recurring bad guy.
Basically, even though he's kind of dead, like, and that's the thing. Like, it hinted that dude was Cal that's there or whatever. Which I'm pretty sure was, but it never really officially says, like, hey, this is Cal, the big evil wizard that I faced whenever the necromancers were in town. Who was like...
Well, yeah, he just had this instinctual idea that that's who it was.
Yeah. And that the magic or something like that had the smell and feel that it was him or something like that. Yeah, man, like, He's even got another series of books that I might have talked to you about this before. I'm not sure if I have or haven't. Or I'm pretty sure I've talked to you about it before. I'm not sure if I've talked about it on here, but it's the Codex Alera
books. They're more of a fantasy.
They're more of a fantasy, but those are really, really cool, man. Like they've got like kind of like the it's a fantasy world where people you have almost like I've never watched a show like The Last Airbender or anything like that or whatever, but apparently I guess you have people that can like what they call these benders where I guess they control like water and air and earth and things like that or whatever. Basically, you have these everybody in this land of Alera or Alaria or I think it's a Codex Alaria.
Yeah.
In this land of Alaria where everybody has this unique ability. They can either, you know, control water, wind, air, or earth, or even fire. So your basic like five elements.
Yeah.
And they're the what do they call those? I can't remember. Anyways, yeah, it's just I don't want to give too much away of the story because they kind of take like the whole like and that one's another one that's like very steep and kind of like Roman to where they have like legionnaires and blah, 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 blah. So anytime that I read that book, I've gone through that series, I guess like twice. It's pretty good, man. Like I always keep forgetting about that one and keep.
Well, I know there were, I remember hearing, I don't know if I actually heard him interviewed or somebody was referencing an interview where he wrote that on a dare.
Yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
bet him, you can't take a Roman legion and, what was it, Pokemon or something like that? Something like that.
Yeah.
And mix all these different elements and write a good story.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I'll do it. And he came up with this.
The Codex Alera.
Codex yeah. Alera. So yeah, it's White Knight, which I just finished. That's book 9, then Small Favor.
Yeah, yeah. And then Turncoat and then Changes.
And yeah, Ghost Story, Cold. God, I got a lot to go still.
Yeah. You don't have much, though. I mean, you just finished White Knight. You're over halfway, man. Small Favors is a good one. Turncoat's really good. That one's going to shock the hell out of you.
Is there an end inside? Like, is he going to just keep doing this, or is he going
to
try to...
It seems that it's working down to... Because now... See, that's the thing. Like, there's been a big turn. Changes is a book that, like, basically flips everything around.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the name Changes. Like, it's pretty crazy. That, you know, and even Turncoat, like, that's one of them that starts, and it's just so much action in it that it's just feels like I'm watching, you know, Avengers Infinity War. Like, Avengers Infinity War starts, and it just kind of, like, runs the entire length of the story. Whereas, like, Turncoat basically does also, yeah. where there's no... And it's kind of, like, all revolving around this one thing of the Black Council that they've deemed it or whatever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, he brought that name up. He said, what are you calling it? I'm calling it the Black Council.
Yeah.
With Ramirez.
Yeah, yeah, with Ramirez. And then he also had Ebenezer. I love yeah, Ebenezer. Ebenezer's. Boy. I've often, like, kind of taken those guys and kind of equated them to, like, Star Wars characters. And that just could just be because that's what I do. But you can also tell in, like,
Who's Ramirez? Han?
Well, I've kind of got, like, Harry as almost like a Han, like.
So true. Ramirez is a Luke.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, well, I've kind of like done like the main characters, like Ebenezer McCoy would be your Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right. Yeah.
/ Yoda. He's kind of like the mentor or whatever you have. I kind of really have as well, I take that back. So Harry would be more of like a Luke. He's like a Luke Han combination.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, obviously, Karen Murphy is your Princess Leia, the dignitary who doesn't need to be saved ever.
No, you know? She takes care of herself.
Yeah, exactly.
She's got a nice little submachine gun she keeps in a little bag.
Right.
To make sure she can take care of herself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, and that's the only thing, though. I've never come up with who the droids are or anything like that, you know, so.
Well, you got the, what about the dog?
Well, yeah, that would be more of the RGD2.
And then Mouse, the cat.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess Mouse would be more like the C-3PO, to where he's just kind of like there. He doesn't really do anything.
No.
But he's a lovable character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't have a book without him in it.
Yeah.
He has to, him and Bob.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bob. The
Maybe Yoda. Bob could be Yoda.
Except a really nasty version. Yeah,
really nasty version of him.
Yeah.
And then I guess I take that back. So Harry could be Han Solo, whereas Michael would be more of like Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, the more on the righteous path kind of guy.
Yeah.
I forget Michael wasn't even in this. His daughter is
more. Molly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it really kind of suits also if it's... A little bit because, you know. He always references Star Wars.
Always does.
And I love the one line that he has, and I can't remember what book it is. He goes, I learned from the Tao of Peter Parker or whatever. And
it's wow.
Yeah. I can't remember which book that is. But, you know, he's got a lot of, he's a lot like Pierce Brown, where Pierce Brown, like, you can obviously see the Star Wars influences in Pierce Brown's.
And Dungeons
writing.
And Dragons influences.
Oh, God,
and I
yeah.
sent a message, a tweet that he had put out, and I'm like, I knew it. It's basically, I can't remember, did I save it? I texted it to you.
I know you texted
it to
me.
Didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to read it rather than just, let's see if I can pull it up.
Yeah. No, that was pretty stinking cool. Because I often kind of wondered that as well. If how he went about
here it is
writing the action sequences and stuff like that.
He said D&D spreadsheet your characters and say farewell to your action scene woes.
Yeah.
Basically you build and he goes on and has a conversation with a lot of his fans
yeah.
saying, no, Yeah, I build a character sheet for all the different people and, you know, pretty much kind of roll the dice.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you son of a gun. Is that why certain people are dead? Because you just, you're playing D&D in your head with, you know, other people. I mean, like people that are even some more literary authors, like Huno Diaz, or I think I said his name. He said he's completely inspired by Dungeons and Dragons when growing up to be a writer.
Yeah.
The creativity you have to have just playing or DMing got him onto that. But yeah, that was really neat. Pierce Brown's been doing a lot of,
He's been doing funny stuff. He does. He has.
On Twitter lately.
Yeah, I liked his one tweet where he said something about, I don't know if you might have saw it. I didn't comment on it, but he said something about that he'd gotten up and thrown on his Grecian bathrobe and his Darth Vader slippers that he was prepared for a day of riding.
He also had Rage Against the Machine playing.
Yeah, yeah.
So Space Knight Battles.
Oh, yeah. That was one. Yeah. That was one I was like all sorts of. That one's got me excited. I'm ready for that book, man. Like, and that's what's cool about, I gotta say, like, I dig it whenever celebrities and authors and things like that do that, to where he's really good about interacting with his fans who comment on his stuff on Twitter.
Right.
That's what is awesome. Whereas, like, a lot of authors and celebrities will post something and then not ever go back to it ever again, you know, and it's like, that's kind of what these, I won't say that social media is set up for that, but that's kind of what they are there for, so that way you can have interaction with your fans. And so if you're going to have interaction with your fans, instead of just using it as like a news source, letting them know what you're doing, how about taking 5 minutes out of your time to sit there and be like, oh, well, blah, 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 Michael, hey, you know, this is, you know, like the tweet or whatever. I know Pierce Brown replied to one of mine one time, and it made me ecstatic. I was like, oh, my gosh, that's awesome. Yeah, like, that's cool, you know. Yeah, that's, I mean, to me, that's what, it's kind of like what social media is for in my book. I mean, I could be completely, totally wrong. I guess everybody probably has their own different variation of opinion on what.
It's just there's a dark side to it also.
Oh,
where people think
yeah.
they own the writer.
Yeah.
And they start giving him advice on, you know what I'm
Well,
talking
and
about.
See, You've that's the it. Thing. I've got to say, like, it seems like maybe with, like, his fans in particular or whatever that's interacting with him on Twitter don't seem to have that. Kind of like, well, this is what should be going on. Like, I see you see people asking questions all the time or whatever. Yeah. But, and then again, it could just be the nature of the tweet that he puts out as well. So.
Or maybe he just attracts a better quality of people like you and I.
It's possible.
Yeah. I'm not saying that they're better quality, but
we just
I'm not going to go out there and back on somebody because I don't like something they've done. I
mean, oh, yeah. 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 Definitely. Yeah.
I started American Gods this morning.
Oh, okay.
Crazy. I'd read some of it, but I for some reason I had to put it down and never went back to it. But I've started it, and I'm gonna.
How far in did you get?
I am at the just had a fight with a leprechaun in a bar. Shadow did.
Okay.
With Wednesday was there.
And, okay, so Wednesday was there.
Really early.
Yeah.
Really early into the book. I've actually gotten this far before, so I'm actually waiting to get to a point I haven't seen before.
Yeah. So you've. That's right, because he meets Wednesday on the airplane.
Okay. Then he meets him. He goes to the bar to get something to eat.
Yeah.
And he's there. And then it starts clicking in his head. Something is definitely not right.
Because
on the airplane, the guy knew his name and said, offered him a job. Kept telling him, you don't have a job. He said, well, you don't know me. And then he's like,
but he does.
Oh, yeah.
Have you found out who
Wednesday? No, I have an idea.
What's your idea?
You know, Wednesday, Odin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it says it at the, that's no big spoiler because he says it immediately whenever he meets him. And he goes, I'm Wednesday. He goes, it's my day. He goes, and it says something. He goes, because it's my day. And if you know anything about like your days and things like that, like Wednesday was Odin's day, Thursday's Thor's day, Friday's Frida's day.
Saying Thor's day.
Oh, I do it all the time.
What are you going to do Thor's day?
Right. Yeah, Tuesday was like Twee. I can't remember what Monday was, but, you know, I at least remember, you know, I think it's like, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So.
Yeah.
So
I'm digging it. Looking forward to that. I mean, there's a TV series, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen any of that?
I have. I've watched the first season of that, and they've taken their liberties and stuff like that with it, but Gaiman's like one of the producers on it.
And then there's a comic book also.
Oh, really? I didn't know about the comic book.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I just know it came out, I think it was last year.
Yeah.
They started issuing copies of that. So something to keep an eye on if you're a fan of gaming.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one thing that I was looking for, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, was a comic of Neverwhere or something like that. Like, I was just like, there's got to be like a TV series or something like that about it. And there was, like I said, I think last week that there was one that was done in like early 2000s, but it looked kind of like one of those like early 2000s bad Doctor Who episodes or whatever, so I didn't bother with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Not saying that Doctor Who is bad, but there are some bad episodes of Doctor Who where the special effects is just, it's bad.
Yeah, a lot of their, especially the older ones are definitely low budget. So I'm looking for that. I'm going to start reading Sandman 2, I think, this week.
Oh, really?
Fit it in. Definitely next week.
Yeah. Because
my wife will be gone.
Yeah.
And I can read all the comics I want. She can't say, what are you doing?
I needed to get up and do this. Crack the whip on you. Michael!
So, yeah, that's been my week. I watched Blaze.
Yeah.
After talking to you about it last week, and good God, I love that movie.
Oh, yeah, it's great, isn't it?
It's so good.
Yeah.
And the guy that got playing Blaze is a guy named Ben Dickey.
Yeah.
He's like an Austin musician. I didn't know that. I thought he was an actor.
See, I didn't either, but that's one thing that, like, and this is kind of like one of probably like a pretentious side of me, but there's something that I always look for whenever it comes to movies and things like that. And I won't even say that I look for it. It just kind of happens. It's kind of like going to a show and you're really familiar with the music. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, me being a bass player, I can hear like, oh, the bass player missed a note right there or whatever, or something like that. It drives me nuts. It's not that I'm looking for it. I just find it or whatever. But that was something I noticed in that movie, is that like he looked like he was actually playing the music and stuff like that.
I'm pretty sure he was. He has albums out. And that's what he is. He's a musician, and now he's an actor musician.
Yeah.
So I was impressed with him.
Yeah, and Charlie Sexton, man, doing Towns Van Zandt.
There's that scene where in there in that big hotel room or house that's been rented, right?
Yeah.
And they're tell Towns that they pretty much invite him to stay with them.
Yeah.
And that's when the shenanigans end. This is a true story. I've heard this part of the interview where Towns tells a story about how they pretty much bankrupted the company.
Yeah, because they were, it was a hotel room.
Yeah, they were ordering stuff, having their own parties. And so he said, oh, well, what is my part? I got to chip in. He said, you got to play a song.
Yeah.
And the guy that we've discovered, Z, who's a composite of Gerf Morlex and some other people that played with both Blaze and Towns back then, said, oh, play Miss Carousel. I love that song, which is kind of a more upbeat song. And then Towns just sits there and plays this song called Marie.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you ever want to go, if you're in a really good mood and you want to feel what it is to be sad, just to remind yourself, all you got to do is listen to this song called Marie.
Okay.
By Towns Van Zandt. He sings it. Charlie Sexton sings it.
Yeah.
And it is just a heartbreaking tale of woe.
Really?
He's got, Towns has two, a lot of his songs are like that. But he has two that are pretty much can ruin any day. Which, for some reason, I enjoy. It's like he said in an interview in Amsterdam I saw once, blues is happy music.
Yeah.
Because for some twisted people like me, I feel really good when I listen to the blues. And I feel really good when I listen to Towns Van Zandt.
Yeah. No, man, it's definitely like, and that's the thing, man, like, you know, I think we've all got songs that do things for us that put you in certain moods or whatever. And definitely, like, blues is one of those that you can sit there and enjoy, even though the context of the movie is just, context of the music, not movie. Sorry about that. Even though the context of the music, the story that the song is telling is like, could be one of horrible sadness and woe, it still could make you extremely happy, especially if, you know, it just kind of depends. Like, one I can think of is what was it I used to listen to? It was like the Friday song. One of them was the Nixon's Happy Song. That was like my Friday tune. I'd be getting off of work and I'd put it in just because it's like, wow, 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 wow. But yet, even though the music has got like a kind of a happy tone to it. If you actually like read the lyrics and understand the lyrics, it's kind of sad. And I think it was Serve the Servants by Nirvana. That was another one I used to listen to all the time on Friday whenever I'd be getting off work. Just, I'd crank that one in, you know, put that one in and crank it all the way up just about as loud as what the radio would go, put down all the windows and just be like, yeah, it's Friday.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Good times, man. Good times. Yeah. I don't even know if I should cover how this week went for me. There was a issue with the dog.
You didn't murder anybody, did
you? No, no, no. Okay. I did have a moment yesterday to where it's like I had to bite my tongue yesterday. Man, and this is like one of those things where it's like I feel like I probably should have said something and did something or whatever, but I kind of bit my tongue just because I was like, well, I don't know. I was at the dollar store here in town. Mm-hmm. And I'd basically just gone up there just to get like a few things. And like, I'm standing there in line and there's this lady in line with me and she's got kind of she's right in front of me. She's got a cart. I want to say
you ever go in there and say, where's the dollars at?
Right. Yeah, basically.
But bad joke.
I liked it. It made me chuckle. But it's one of these things where it's like, she's standing in line in front of me. She doesn't have like a cart full of stuff, but it's like overly full for like little shopping there at the dollar store or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, she is right in front of me. There's only one cashier open. It's her. She's checking out. And then I'm right behind her. And this dude comes busting through the door. Like, you can tell, like, he is already upset. And he like yanks the door open and he sees her and he's like, what are you doing here? And she's like, well, it was on the way home. I just was going to stop and get a few things. He's like, well, I was on my way to Aldi's. And like, you know, I don't know. I guess it's her husband or something like that or what?
Yeah.
And she's like, and she goes, oh, okay. And like, he sees the milk in the cart and he just like grabs it, like pulls it out. Like, you know, like you can like reach and grab something, but he like grabs it and yanks it out of the cart, all sorts of jerkish like.
Can I interrupt? What age range are we talking about of people here?
Older than us.
Okay. So 50s, 60s.
Maybe early 50s. But older than us,
not
like
somewhere teenagers.
Definitely not some teenagers. No. Older than us, and like, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, the reason why I didn't say anything is because it's like, I don't know if that's just how their relationship works or whatever. Because she seemed perfectly fine with it and was just kind of like going with it. That's one of the reasons why I didn't say anything. But like, dude, it was one of those things where I was like that close to like mentioning something, because like, he grabs the milk, like yanks it out of the cart, like pulls the cart all sideways and stuff, and he goes, we're not getting this here, and he goes and puts it back. And he's gone for like a few seconds because it's a small store. He comes back over there and the cashier's still ringing stuff up, and he pulls something out of the bag. He goes, why are you getting this? And she goes, well, I like it. He goes, well, I don't like it, and slams it back down in like the bag.
Oh no.
And like, that's,
no, this is a horrifying relationship, regardless if that's how.
Yeah. And that's the moment where I had to bite my tongue, because I was milliseconds away from going like, dude, you need to back up.
How and
you
leave like my her foot up your butt.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Like, you need to change your attitude. Like, right now, man. Like, but that's like, I had to tell myself, I was like, dude, you need to hold off. That might be how they interact. He might be the dick of the relationship, where she's just like, oh, well, that's just him, you know. You see it all the time.
Yes, you do. You know? And I've seen that, and I'm like, how do people put up with that?
Yeah, it's not something I would do, but, you know, it's not my relationship, it's not my life.
You wouldn't be him, and you wouldn't be her either.
Yeah, definitely not, dude. Like, that was one of those moments where it was like, even to this moment, even telling story, I feel like I probably should have stepped up and said something. But, you know,
and
you
Dave
never know.
Would have gone to jail. Yeah, it would have led to something. Because yeah. He doesn't sound like the kind of guy that's just going to walk away meekly.
No, no, definitely
not. Well, I'm
not.
Sorry. You're right. I really should be nicer to my lovely wife.
Yeah, that's stopping by the store for me and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's just, oh, my goodness. So I was made sure that I was a dick to him in the parking lot as I was leaving.
What'd you do? Key his car?
No, I was just, he started to back out and I just pulled around in front of him so that way he had to wait on me to get by and all like this good stuff. So, you know, little things like that,
You were the agent of karma.
Yeah.
At that moment, you were an agent of karma.
Dude. Oh, yeah, exactly. So I was just like, it's totally on purpose. And then, like, as I did it, I started to pull up. And, of course, it's, like, right there at the exit. So I stopped before I even got to the exit just because it's, like, the Sonic and the Dollar General are, like, connected. So I made sure that I stopped just, even though I didn't need to because there's nobody coming in, nobody pulling in, but yet I stopped to make sure that it was blocking him for longer than what I should have. You know, that I could probably tell that he's just fuming, calling me all sorts of names in there, and I'm like,
yeah, you did it.
Oh, I know how to be. I know how to be an asshole whenever I want to.
Hey.
Yeah, I worked with the public too long, man.
Mm-hmm.
Worked with the public too long. That's one thing you learn is like when somebody's in a really pissed off mood, especially if it's at you, the more nice that you can be, the better it pisses them off.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, it's
that's
great.
Absolutely right.
Oh, yeah.
I remember being yelled at, just horrifying in the middle of the store being yelled at for something that, A, I have no control over, and B, the person's completely delusional, and everybody's, and I'm just sitting there smiling.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not real happy. I mean, this one particular instance, I'm like, I'm about to quit.
Yeah.
I don't get paid enough to be putting up with this, because this lady, she was one of those, you know how much money I spend here? It was back when the book, the movie The Ring came out.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And the book, for some reason, was not available in English translation until much longer time after the movie came out. We could not get it, and we could get every book there was.
Yeah.
I don't know what the whole, but it's not my fault. It's people that had the publication rights to the book screwed up, didn't realize that movie is going to be such a huge success.
That they didn't bother doing the English translation.
You get me this book right now.
I'm like, you said, ma'am? Okay, I'll order it for you. And that's what you do. And then whenever they get the whenever they get the kanji script, they're going to be like, well, I want the English version. How can I read this pictogram stuff?
Yeah.
You told me to get it for you.
So yeah, that was extremely frustrating. Just yelling at me, berating me, treating me like I was lower than scum.
Oh, yeah.
Scrape from the shoe if you're walking through the mud or something, you know.
That happens everywhere, but it also, if it was in the area that I'm thinking that it was, it probably says a lot about
it. Happens
it
all the time down there.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say it, Plano, North Dallas area.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they call it the North Dallas Beautiful, because it's a lot of rich folk with a lot of plastic surgery and stuff like that. So
I remember somebody came in, and like we had actually had one store that's 5 miles from the other store.
Yeah.
And I was working at this store, and somebody calls up and said, hey, I'm at this store. I need this book. Y'all are supposed to have it. I said, I do. I've got it right here in my hand. Can you bring it to me? I'm like, no, ma'am.
Yeah.
I'm at work. I can't. Y'all can't deliver this book. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
We don't have the staff enough to have people driving around. Just drive up here and pick it up. It'll be on hold here for a week for you.
Yeah.
I am not driving up there. I want it here. I said, well, talk to the people at that store.
Well, then you can order it and you can wait for it to be delivered there.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing, man. Like, I had an issue, and this was way back whenever I worked there at Albertsons. And I was the overnight cashier. And, you know, this is back in the day where people wrote checks. Hardly anybody writes checks nowadays, but this is back in the day where a check was the most common way to pay for your groceries without, you know, we had credit card machines, but, you know, nobody used them because who pays for the groceries with credit cards? There was a few people that did, not very many, but there was a few people that did. Well, anyways, whenever people were writing a check for their whatever, we had to get their driver's license number and date of birth. That was just a common thing, mm-hmm.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So anyways, I'm get done checking these people's groceries. I asked for their driver's license, and the dude flipped out. And I was like, sir, this is common practice here. And he goes, well, they never asked me for it. They know me here. I was like, well, I'm sorry, sir, but I don't know you. And you could have very well easily stolen this checkbook. So I need to see your ID so that way I can put this on here. Plus, so that way, in case the check is bad, we also have a way of tracking you. And it's nothing against you. It's just, this is just common protocol. This is how we do this.
So here's the thing, people. When you get carded, for whatever reason, whether you're buying
it's to beer, protect you.
It's not just to protect you. You should say thank you for doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you use a credit card and they ask you, say thank you because they're protecting you.
Oh, yeah.
And they're also, when it comes to cigarettes or alcohol, say thank you, because if you're 60 years old and getting carted, they're also carting the 15-year-old that's coming in there to get stuff they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. There's a gas station in a local town that I have, and I think they got in trouble with the Texas alcohol because they used not to card for anything.
Yeah.
And now they card.
Oh, dude, that's a big fine. Oh, yeah. Not only is it a fine to the store, but also the person themselves get fined.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and it's a big fine. It's not a cheap one. So yeah, if you get fined for it, yeah, it's a big deal, man. But it's kind of funny that I pissed that dude off, man. Like, he just got so mad that I asked for his ID. So I just kept on just being like nicer and nicer and nicer and like doing it with the big old smile, because
kill him with kindness. You
know, because the bigger that smile gets, the more pissed off they get or whatever. And dude, it got so bad that he, like, I'm standing here and like not even, you know, just right across the aisle from where I'm at is where the manager is, the customer service desk. And the manager's in there doing the end of the night countdown and stuff. And so he walks directly over there and he starts telling the manager, he goes, "I'm not going to say who it is, but one of your cashiers here is a giant asshole." And I just looked over and said, "Todd, it was me. Have a good night, sir. Enjoy your evening." You know,
I can see you doing this, dude, with a smile on your face.
Gigantic grin on my face, just being like, "Oh, yeah. You want to be a dick? I've probably said that a little bit too much this episode. People are going to get mad. I can't believe you're cussing." But no,
don't listen to
us then. Yeah, American Gods, man. Let's go back to that there.
Yes,
it's a good show. I don't know if you've watched this on Starz.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's a good show. I like a lot of how they've done some casting. They've done some like changes in the story that I don't really know if it makes sense or whatever, but, you know, like I said, it's kind of one of those things I can't really get mad at because Neil Gaiman's one of the producers.
Yeah, he's involved, so you know they're going to give him some respect on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, cool, because, you know, in the book, Shadow wins a coin from the Leprechaun.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got to that part yet?
I don't think so.
Okay, so I should probably shut up. Because that coin is kind of important.
Okay. I'll keep my eye out for that. I might have missed him. I'll go back and...
Yeah, he wins a coin from the Leprechaun because the Leprechaun does like all these tricks, all like this. It's not a big spoiler, so I'll just go ahead and say it. Unless you want me to shut up.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So the coin that the Leprechaun gives him is kind of like the key to his treasure. Like, that's how he's able to, like, just kind of conjure, like, coins left and right and do all sorts of stuff and blah, blah, blah. So, they all get, like, rip-roaring hammered, and then somehow the Leprechaun winds up giving him the wrong coin.
Uh-huh.
And so, part of it is him going after Shadow, trying to find Shadow to get his coin back.
Oh, I see. It's like his lucky coin or a magical coin.
Yeah, basically like a magical coin.
Okay.
But it's kind of cool. Like, you know, it's, and this is going to be a bad transition because I want to talk about that video. And I don't know if you, I know I mentioned about it last night that Martin had sent us some stuff or whatever.
Yeah, the
Göbekli Tepe. Göbekli
Tepe. Stuff. I can never say that. Yeah, I thought about when you brought that up, I thought I should do this, but I'm like, no, I'm finishing White Knight.
Yeah.
Dave's going to watch it. Dave can instruct me about what it's about today.
Oh, yeah. But it's, man, it was one of those that were, like, there was a lot of really, really good information in it. It's about an hour long or right at an hour long, and it's basically, I never did get the guy's name that's given the lecture, and it's just a recorded lecture of him. It's not the best video quality. It's not the best audio quality, but it's a good, great video. If I can find my phone, it's in my pocket here. I'll look it up and I'll give people the name so that way they can go check it out. But one of the things that really intrigued me and kind of piqued me, and it kind of ties in with the whole American Gods and Odin and stuff like that. I'll get there in just a second. But one of the things that really piqued my interest was whenever he mentioned about wheat being the forbidden fruit in the story of Adam and Eve and, you know, paradise or whatever. I guess they'd found like I said, it all kind of ties in with the Göbekli Tepe. I'm not going to try to tie it all in because it's mentioned, and it's all about this kind of like extra race of humans that's not around anymore that could have possibly been wiped out.
This like the missing link in civilization.
Yeah.
Like, they have this theory that there were civilizations older than the civilizations that came later
yeah.
that passed on information and technologies to them.
Yeah, and that this people that could have been there at Göbekli Tepe, they could have even had like a whole totally different like cranial structure where they had like these elongated heads or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's one of those things where like he kind of his thing was like the beginnings of religion were there. So it said something about like, you know, the thing that intrigued me the most was that he brought up about wheat being the forbidden fruit, because at that point in time, wheat is what kind of chained man to one area, saying that now they're going to stay here and they're going to farm this wheat. Whereas beforehand, you know, hunter gatherers, they weren't farmers, so they could easily move where the nomads could easily move. You're going to be able to walk around and find berries or trees, you know, fruit trees anywhere or whatever. You can find those as you're hunting or whatnot. Mm-hmm, but whereas mm-hmm. like wheat has to be tended. So I'm not doing it justice and I'm totally not looking it up at the same time. But it was a very, very, very interesting little talk or whatever.
Basically, wheat could have been the forbidden fruit, you said.
Yeah, because it chained people to that one area. So now they're stuck in that area mm-hmm. instead of being able to be free and go about their everyday lives as like what nomads would with the hunting and gathering.
Well, it's like when we had our situation with the Plains Indians. They had their way of life where they followed the herds around.
Oh, yeah.
And then here comes the United States of America and forces them onto reservations and says, now you're going to farm. They didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
They wanted to have that free life of being what they've had always been for generations. So it's a different thing, but at the same time, I guess people that continued being nomads probably looked at them like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's what was cool about this is, you know, he goes into a lot of the carvings and things like that that's done on the stones there at Göbekli Tepe. And there's one that he's claiming as being a comet that they see flying through the sky. And that's one of the things that's like, that's being more and more talked about, or I find it being more and more talked about, that there's a possible comet strike around the end of the Ice Age, yeah, what they're yeah. calling the Younger Dryas.
Back on the Joe Rogan
yeah.
episodes we listened to, there's lots of references to that.
And yeah. we even have seen an article of where they've found a comet impact that's underneath the glacier right now. Now they're just now discovering it because the glaciers are receding mm-hmm. and that they have now found this impact crater that's around, I think it was Iceland, wasn't it, or whatever?
I think so.
And it really kind of made sense because this guy kind of tied... He was talking about Göbekli Tepe being like the beginning of like religions, like kind of like might have been where like just about maybe every religion could have started from. Hmm. And really kind of like brought into perspective because it started me thinking like, well, all these religions, they are very similar. Like you have, and he was bringing up something about a trickster god and their idea of the trickster god being a fox or whatever. Whereas I kind of disagreed with him on this part because he said like Fenris, with the Viking. The Norse mythology, mm-hmm. where Fenris really isn't the trickster god. Loki's the trickster god, but Fenris is the son of Loki. So, in a way, yeah, in a way, no. But it really started me thinking, it's like, oh, okay, so, like, in the Nordic mythology, you have Ragnarok. And he even brings it up in the lecture. I couldn't think of the name there. He even brings it up in the lecture, and it really started me thinking, it's like, oh, okay, so they have this comet strike. Could that same religion have started about the same time? The Norse mythology started about the same time, because they could have seen, especially if a comet impacted there in Iceland, mm-hmm. could have been very well from the same time of this Göbekli Tepe. So the people would have seen this comet come streaking over the sky, or at least pieces of it, and one of them actually impacting near them. And they said that it changed the entire climate and kind of threw the world back into a mini ice age, that they say mini ice age, even though it was like 1300 years, because there was so much ash and so much fire that it basically just like scorched the earth. Like you had these fires that burned for years. Well, in Ragnarok, the end of Ragnarok, after like Thor is dead and Odin's dead and all these gods are dead, Surtur, or Surt, however you want to pronounce it, he's the destroyer of the universe, right? He's comes from I can't think of the plane that he's, but he's like the fire god, and he burns everything. Well, if you think about the comet impact, where they said that these fires burned everything, so they could have very well witnessed that and witnessed the new beginning, because even after Surt burns everything, or Surtur, however you want to pronounce it, and I can't think of the other guy's name, he's just one of Odin's sons, but he's killed, and then he kind of comes back, and he's the new beginning.
It's destruction, rebirth, destruction, rebirth, destruction, rebirth. That, you see that in a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
The snake eating its own tail.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how to say the word, Uberu or Uberos, or something like
that's
that.
That's good enough for me, yeah.
But, yeah, it's like, a lot of these civilizations could have experienced a really traumatic experience, and then a new civilization come up and they pass these stories down. It's like Martin brought up this morning or last night about how what's really interesting when you start looking back at myth as a metaphor for something that people have either experienced or it's like a lesson for people to learn from.
Oh, yeah. And I actually wanted to bring that up whenever Martin had said that, but I didn't want to bring it up because I wanted to talk to you about it on here with the whole Ragnarok, because it totally fits with the thing. And actually you could, you know, like, so we're ancient man standing there 10,000 years, you know, 10,000 BC.
Right.
Or I guess it's even earlier than that.
13,000 possibly.
Yeah, 13,000 BC that I see this comet come striking, you know, glowing across the sky. We don't know what it is, and all of a sudden it impacts. Now everything that we know is burning. And it's claimed that there's so much ash that basically, like, around the world, the entire world was coated with, like, an 8-inch thick layer of ash for years. And that just totally, completely changed the climate of the Earth, like said, threw it into a mini ice age. So, me being ancient, people lived through it. People survived. So, me being ancient man, seeing that, obviously that my first thought is going to be like, well, the gods aren't happy, and they decided to destroy everything. So, you could totally see where that would come from. That they got angry, sent this comet down, blew everything up, and decided to start over new with fire, burn the entire world, and then start over.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what Surtur or whatever is supposed to do there at the end of Ragnarok. After Hel and Loki and I can't remember somebody else come.
Fascinating stuff when you start looking into that. I mean, I've been looking at you're talking about stuff that could be like 13,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, okay, this is a weird sidestep to get to my point. You remember the band The Cult?
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite bands from the late 80s.
Oh, yeah.
That you don't hear a lot about anymore.
Yeah.
Even though the main singer still, he's been touring with the Doors in the past.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Ian Astbury, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Love that band. And then I did some reading about them. And I'm like, oh, they actually came from a band called Southern Death Cult. Southern Death Cult? Well, Southern Death Cult took their name from... It was called the Southern Death Cult of Native Americans.
Oh, okay.
Going back into like the, I'm going to get the times wrong, but it's not even 13th. It's like from about 700 to 900 AD. They're, you know, the mound builders?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, they've got the mounds down near Waco, the Caddo Mounds, and they're all throughout the South and up the Mississippi River. And I pull up a map, and I knew they existed. I just didn't know to what extent, how many. They're everywhere.
That's about the same.
Everywhere.
They even have them in, like, over in, like, Ireland and Wales and well, I will just say Britain.
Yeah, the because Cromlechs Ireland, and the, yeah.
The fairy mounds, is what they call them or whatever. Yeah.
Apparently, the theory is in that point in time is when Native Americans really started developing a fascination with death. Not necessarily, I shouldn't say, they call it the death cult because of this, that's why they were building these mounds for a certain reason, for commemoration and reverence for the elders or whatever you want to find. Or they started developing a more complex cosmology and like a theology of how, you know, they started coming up with their stories about this red-horned god, or not even a god. He's the trickster. He was actually could be a hare, like a rabbit.
Oh, okay.
He was like a trickster coyote character.
Yeah.
It just gets fascinating when you start seeing what was going on, but there's really no way for us to know because there's no written records, and it's just speculation on by, you can see the mementos and the artifacts that they left behind. And I was starting to look at some of the artifacts. I'm like, that looks just like something you'd see down in Central America.
And that was one thing that he pointed out in that lecture that I totally like bypassed and didn't talk about, is like one of the designs that they use in the Göbekli Tepe has also been very similarly found in the Native Americans here. You know, well, Native Americans, you know. Period. And I can't remember exactly what it was. Sorry about that. I totally like interrupted you there.
No, go ahead.
But yeah, that's all I got, is that's what I thought was interesting, is that they'd found, you know, similarities, kind of like connecting almost like the two tribes. They had, I can't remember what it was. Crap. I'm trying to remember the tribe that it was that they had. I mean, it's almost, I won't say it's like a picture image, but you could sit there and look at the tomb and just be like, holy crap, it's like a circle type image with kind of like a maze, and I can't think of what the hell it is. But yeah,
I wasn't really even prepared to bring that up, but I've just been reading about it, and I'm really looking forward to that book that Graham Hancock has coming out about ancient America.
Oh, yeah.
To see what he touches on, what his theories and speculations are.
And I wonder if it's going to involve any of the new findings where they've been digging. You know, they're
down
north of Austin, south of, you know, Waco and whatnot. I think they said basically it's kind of like close to Killeen or whatever.
Something down in that area, yeah. I can't remember the exact name. It's like some creek area that they've been digging in.
Yeah,
pushed everything back a lot.
Oh, yeah. A lot earlier than what they kind of thought it was. And crap. Talk, Dave. There we go. Say some words instead of stuttering. The video that Martin had shared with us, it just says Göbekli Tepe's discovery that almost beyond comprehension, or almost beyond comprehension, is the title that it shows in the Twitter. So if you just go to YouTube and type that in, it'll probably be the first one that pulls up. It was from 2014. I do know that much, but yeah, it's a pretty interesting little watch there, or whatnot. I haven't gotten into that.
You don't know who the speaker was, but you'd have known if it was Hancock.
No, yeah, I would have known if it was Hancock, and it wasn't Robert Schock, because he actually references Robert Schock and the other guy that Robert Schock referenced in the interview with Joe Rogan. I can't think of that guy's name, but the guy that is referenced, that Robert Schock references in the Joe Rogan interview, had actually died, I guess, like the Sunday before that lecture. So it was right around all that time.
Really?
Yeah. But yeah, man. Other than that, I'm just gearing up, ready for vacation, which is just getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. And
you're going to blink and it'll be here.
I know it, man. It's getting pretty close. So close that, you know what, it's been a long time since I've done it, so I'm going to do a countdown real fast, because it's getting close to go time. I got to let the music play just for a second. It's 1 month, 22 days, 18 hours, and 56 minutes until I leave for Star Wars Celebration.
And filming has wrapped.
Yes.
This past week.
Yeah. Filming's wrapped this past week. There's been a lot of, let me get adjusted here. There's been a lot of, like, I won't say a lot of announcements, that we haven't got a title or anything like that, but I feel like all that information is being saved for Celebration. So
how much pressure do you think there is at coming up with a title?
I think there's a lot of pressure, man, because, I mean, you know, when the Phantom Menace came out, people bitched about the name. They're like, oh my God, that's the name. Or Attack of the Clones is where people really got critical about, kind of like making fun of the name. And like, I mean, I didn't like it at first either, but then after I saw the movie, I was like, oh, okay. There's a reason why it's called The Attack of the Clones, mm-hmm. because it's about the Attack of the Clones. But it also follows, like, the type of names that you'd have for those 1950s serials that George Lucas was a huge fan of, that he was kind of mirroring with Star Wars. Excuse me. But yeah, man, there was the one thing that came out this week that I'm, like, super stoked about, that I'm, like I said, I'm so blasted excited. And it was the Triple Force Friday is what they're calling it, which is going to be in October this year. But the one thing that I'm like, well, one of the things I'm super stoked about is the first ever Star Wars live action series, The Mandalorian. But what I'm really, I think what I'm mostly excited about is the latest title from EA and Respawn, Star Wars Jedi, The Fallen Order. Brand new action-adventure game releasing in holidays of 2019.
The Fallen Order.
Yeah. And the title is Star Wars Jedi, The Fallen Order. I don't know anything about this game. I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen any screenshots or anything like that. You know, every once in a while, E3 is really good about, you know, kind of like dropping little hints, having little gameplay footage and stuff like that, especially for something that's going to be releasing the holidays this season. Mm-hmm. But there has been nothing. So, and everything that I'd heard as of recently was just about everything that EA was working on had been canceled. So this is like, I'm kind of excited to see where they're taking this, because apparently, like, it's going to be a Jedi. But, like, it's Jedi the Fallen Order, so I'm wondering if it's, like, pre-prequels or pre, you know, original trilogy, or if it's going to be post, if it's going to be, you know, post-sequel trilogy, because it's the Fallen Order. Like, is it going to be like Sith, or is it going to be like, well, the Jedi now with Luke Skywalker, you said, you know, the Jedi's got to end, blah, 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 blah. So is this going to be like the Fallen Order? Like, the Jedi has officially fallen, and it's kind of like coming from the ashes, rising anew type thing, which basically, like, everybody's been saying with Rey and whatnot. So, yeah.
You know what's frustrating about Star Wars, people?
What's that?
You know, people got so annoyed with the prequels and with the prequels now that I guess you'd call, like, the Solo movie was a prequel and the Rogue One was a prequel. Now people are like, we need a Darth Maul, or not Darth Maul, what's he called in Solo?
Oh, Maul. Yeah.
Maul. We need a Maul prequel.
Right. I would love it. Yeah. At
the same time, they're so fickle.
To me, I would rather see a Maul prequel done more as like a series than a movie. Mm-hmm. Because I just think that there could be a possibility of so much of a story there. Like, and you, well, I was going to say in Clone Wars, like the TV series, you get something, but that's actually about his brother, Savage Opress, or whatever. But yeah, man, pre-orders for autographs and things like that for Celebration went up. I haven't seen anybody, like, I mean, there's a ton of people that's going to be there. But I haven't seen anybody notable. And whenever I say notable, I'm saying like your main people, like Mark Hamill and stuff like that. Like, there's been a ton of people announced. Then you can go ahead and go on there. And I was like looking at prices yesterday, and prices, they're not too bad, but it's nobody that I've got to get autographs from. Let's put it that way. Cause I collect OT, collect original trilogy autographs and stuff. So there hasn't been anybody released yet that I want to get, but the prices weren't too bad. Like Ian McDiarmid, he's original trilogy, but I've already got him, but he's going to cost you $110, which is kind of about right. Mm-hmm. Even though I will say that the prices do seem a little bit elevated than normal, because I didn't see any of them that were like $20. Everything's like $50,
$60. Oh, dang.
Yeah, so it seems a little bit of a price grab, like a money grab to me. But it's, I mean, you know, people's going to pay what they're going to pay. Mm-hmm. A lot of these autographs I've gotten already, I was able to pick up for like $20, $30. So I'm happy about that. I did pay $100 for Ian McDiarmid. So $110 for his isn't like out of the ordinary or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just don't know if I would pay $50 or $60 for somebody like Sam Witwer or Jonas, whatever his name is, the
I've only paid for one autograph in my life, and that was when I was back in college.
Yeah.
And Larry Johnson
played for you. Grandmama.
Yeah. Grandmama was, he's from Dallas, and he was back in town at a like a card trading convention.
Yeah.
Had a buddy at the time who was huge into collecting baseball cards, basketball. He collected everything. And he's like, I'm going to go get Larry Johnson's autograph.
Oh, cool.
And I'm like, I'll go with you. And it's like 20, I think it's 20, it might have only been 10. You know, they gave you a photo. It was him in a defensive position dressing as UNLV gear. It was right after he got drafted.
Oh, okay.
That he was doing this. Yeah. I don't think he could have done that legally when he was still in college. But they did not yet have him in a photo of him in his Charlotte Hornets gear.
Okay.
So that's the only one I've ever, and I don't know, I guess I would, if I had an option to go see Mark Hamill or somebody like that, I might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill, he's really personal whenever you go get his autograph, or he has been whenever I've met him, the couple of times I've met him. I'm sure somebody out there's had bad run-ins with him and stuff like that. I never have, which is awesome because he's been my hero. And I've told the story on here before. He's been my hero since I was a little kid. Kind of like, every interaction I've had with Peter Mayhew has been horrible, basically.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I don't really... It's... I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, I don't really want to get into it just because I don't want to badmouth or slander the guy at all. But, everybody always tells me, they're like, maybe you caught him on a bad day. Well, then I've caught him on a bad day every time I've met him. And one of the times was whenever I was hosting a panel that he was on. So,
oh man.
Yeah. So it's just kind of like one of those things where it's like, I understand people have bad days. Mm-hmm. I've had bad days and I don't want to deal with people. But, it is what it is. I was looking for something else. I can't remember what exactly it was. There's something else I was wanting to talk about, but I can't.
While you're thinking about it, we're talking about things that are being produced and getting ready to come out. King Killer Chronicles TV show, is the writer's room is set up, and they're working on the actual episodes.
Really?
And Rothfuss is involved. They've had him out to pick his brain, which they said sometimes. They said a lot of times that's not really common. That the author kind of, here's your money. We're going to take this now and do what we want. But they actually, he has input. And it's not going to be anything that's in any of the books.
Okay.
It's set 5 to 10 years before. Yeah, or 20 years.
He says about his, could be possibly, could be possibly about his parents. Didn't you send a link or something like that? Mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to read that link or anything like that.
This is just further confirmation that that's what they're doing. And when he was shopping the deal around, and apparently lots of different studios, movie production companies were after him. Is it Sony? I can't remember exact people. Lionsgate.
Okay.
I think. The deal is that he wanted something big. Because, he's a big dreamer.
Yeah.
And he has a big opinion of himself. I should say, it just comes across that way. But I think the guy actually expects results.
Yeah.
He wants something bigger than just take my story and retell it. He wants you to expand the universe to where, kind of like with Star Wars, with the animated shows and all the things that they're doing. He's like, no, we're going to take this and this is going to lead up to give the background story to everybody that's read my book. And then there's going to be a movie that's going to do something else.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a game that's going to do something else. He wanted the full,
he wanted to run the full gambit. Yeah.
He wants everything to tie into his world. Because he says he has stories that he could tell forever about this world.
Okay.
Because it's so detailed.
Oh, God, yeah.
And his magic, his magical system that he's got, it's this form of alchemy that's really, really well done.
Oh, yeah. That was one of them that I was really hoping, that they would actually take the books and kind of do, that's another one I'd much rather see done as a series, mm-hmm. as quite like Game of Thrones, because those books are so
deep.
Long and so deep and so detailed that I could see them cutting out some stuff for a movie, but whenever I start thinking of them making a movie about those, God, you're talking about 3-4 hour movies possibly, because there's parts in the story that you don't really want to leave out, but it's kind of like one of her quotes was the street rat kid in the one city, and I can't remember what it was, but that I felt like they spent way too much time on him being, you know, the little homeless orphan boy or whatever.
That was a really long.
That was a really, really long, got really detailed, and it was just kind of like, okay, well, let's go ahead and move on to the next chapter of his life. Like, mm-hmm. I get it. He was destitute at one point in mm-hmm. time, so. Mm-hmm. But, you know, things like that, like, I could see a lot of that being cut out in a movie, but I would much rather see an in-depth series. You know, and I think it could possibly be that Game of Thrones has kind of ruined us for that because, like, we want to see certain parts and certain aspects of the books and things like this. Kind of like Ready Player One, where you couldn't have done a series about Ready Player One. We all knew that they were going to have to cut out things in the book that we wanted to see, but, like, you know, you still could have gotten, like, way in depth on that, and it's still, like, I'll claim, you know, I dig the movie that we got from Ready Player One.
Oh, yeah, heck
but
yeah.
You could totally do a completely different movie.
Easily.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. With the same name.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But,
well, on the same token, Lord of the Rings prequel that yeah. Amazon's working on is apparently ramping up into production mode, too.
Really?
And I think from the rumor is they're looking to be shooting at in Scotland.
Oh, cool.
Which will be neat.
Yeah.
So that's those two things are coming up.
We need to take a trip to Scotland then and see if we can't get a job as an extra just for like a day or something like that.
Heck yeah.
Right? Yeah. We could pass as like...
Me and Elijah Wood, we were in the Lord of the Rings franchise.
Right. Yeah. He's actually doing like a voice for Star Wars or whatever. I got excited. I was like...
I heard about that.
Yeah, he was doing it for their Star Wars... what is that? It's a series I'm not watching. I don't really have much of an interest in watching it just because I hear that it's... I mean, I'll probably check it out at some point in time, but it's just one that I'm not going to pay to watch right now. What the devil is the name of that series? It's not like... Resistance. Star Wars Resistance.
Okay, yeah.
I kept wanting to call it Rebels, but I can, you know, Rebels, Resistance. They're both the same thing, just a different title and different ages or whatever.
So did you find what you were...
No, not really. This is something I keep holding on to just in case we kind of run out of stuff that we were going to talk about. But it does tie into the vacation. Well, so I'll just go ahead and talk about it real quick, even though we're like well over time, but I'm just going to go ahead and do it anyways. I've been like much more relaxed because everything's taken care of. Like I've got my spending money. I've got my flat paid for. I've got my hotel paid for. Now I'm just getting like little ancillary things like where me and my buddy were talking about, found out that the Cubs are playing on that Tuesday the 10th, Wednesday the 10th. Celebration starts on the 11th. Wednesday the 10th, the Cubs are playing the Pittsburgh Pirates at like 7:05. Well, the last time I was in Chicago, I didn't get to take in a Cubs game. So one of the things like we're talking about is going checking out a Cubs game, which would be super badass. I'm not a huge baseball fan, but my mamma, she loved baseball. And she always watched the Cubs and the Rangers. And she mm-hmm. would watch the Cubs because they played a lot of day games and they were always on WGN.
Mm-hmm.
So you go over to mamma's house and she'd have the Cubs game on. So I really want to go catch a Cubs game. But another thing that I've got a ticket for already is this thing that's called A Night at Canto Bite. And it's the costume club's party. Now, usually the 501st has theirs, the Rebel Legion has theirs, and the Mando
Mercs. They all split off to different places.
They all split off to different places and do their own little thing. Well, this time they're all doing it together. It's super cool. The tickets are now, as of February the 1st, they were open to the public to buy. Beforehand, you had to be a member of whatever club to purchase tickets. Well, I've known people, so I've got a lot of friends that do the costuming. Mm-hmm. I don't personally, just not that I have anything against it. It's just I don't want to have to keep up with all the crap at a convention or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm there to buy cool stuff, to see cool stuff,
yeah.
And I don't want to have to keep up with a lot of accessories and crap like that. Now, I do really appreciate the craftsmanship and the artistic side that goes into the costumes and stuff. And I've got a Mandalorian costume that I've been working on for ages. I just haven't ever finished it. But, so anyways, date, Thursday, April the 11th, time 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. The cool part is the location.
Where?
It's the Museum of Science and Industry.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. So basically, I think it's like 7 o'clock is when the museum closes. They're closing it down and reopening at 8 for the costume clubs, because they're all coming together and doing it at one location there at the Museum of Science and Industry there in Chicago. Now, I was actually at something to like this similarly back in 2016, because our final night, whenever I'd gone to my union's Grand Lodge convention, our final night, like the big hoorah goodbye, they did like this party inside the Museum of Science and Industry, which was super cool because it was just like you walk in and the museum is completely, totally open. You really? Can do whatever you want to. There's the exhibits are still open. Like we were able to walk up and get a ticket to do the little guided tour of the U-boat and stuff.
Oh, that's
go
so
down
cool.
inside the coal mine and all like this crap. I didn't do the coal mine thing because I'm super claustrophobic and I'm kind of debating on doing that one just because like I don't want to get down there and be like, I need to go back up right now because.
Funny you bring that up, because I was thinking, for some reason, I was thinking about going to Carlsbad Caverns.
Oh, really?
I've been there 2 times, once with my wife and once with my oldest daughter and wife.
Okay.
And both times, it's amazing. It's an amazing experience. But one time we went on, and I'm digressing from what you're talking about, but
no, you're fine.
That feeling of claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Claustrophobia.
Yeah.
That we paid to go on this special tour to an part of the caverns that are not accessible to the public.
Yeah.
And you have to enter through this secret area, and you go, and it's like, you get some tight-knit places.
No, couldn't
and
do
I'm
it.
Like, I don't know if I want to. It was really neat to do, but there were a couple of moments when we were in there, I'm like, I don't know if I can keep doing this, because it's really small. Like, when you're in Carlsbad Caverns, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's just this natural vaulted ceilings and all these giant stalagmites and stalactites and all these different formations that are just beautifully lit. Well, there's no lighting in this area. You carry your light.
Oh, wow. Yeah. See, that would scare the hell out of me.
It's really neat.
I wouldn't be able
really,
to do it.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do it again.
Yeah.
And like you're talking about going down, like people that do the job of going down in these coal mines, I've seen shows about their work, and it's like, wow.
Oh, yeah. No.
That's tough.
I just don't know if I could do it. Just like, my friend that I'm going out there with, one of my friends that I'm going out there with, she was telling me that, she's done some caving before and all like this. And she was saying that, because we were talking about the coal mine thing, and I was like, dude, that might be all you. I don't know if I'll be able to go do the coal mine thing just because I'm super claustrophobic. And she
I
was
didn't
like,
know they had that there. Tell me, is it an actual coal mine?
I don't know if it's an actual coal mine or
replica.
Or if it's a replica, because it's not far from the lake. So that's kind of like what kind of creeps me out a little bit, too, because it's not far from the lake. And you dig down into the dirt like that and go down. I just don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know anything about it, but it's kind of like I'm claustrophobic as hell. I don't know. Well, I'll find out. It's one of those things that's going to be a lot more hesitation on that, because like she was telling me that she's done some caving before to where it's like you have to like get down on your belly and you have to like shimmy through the rocks. And I was like, no, there's no way I would do that. I was like, because like there's no way I could even sit there and
begin. What if you got stuck?
Yes. Yeah.
Because we're not little.
No.
And where some people can shimmy through, that would be like,
yeah, no, it's not going to happen, man. I'm not going to do it. I'm not even going to attempt to do it, because like I have that fear of that once I start trying to shimmy through that, then now I'm stuck and I cannot get out. Yeah. And I guess eventually like...
See, I'm already starting to catch. I can't breathe right now.
Yeah.
Thinking about getting
stuck. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Ooh, nope. I would have gotten to that point and been like, uh-uh. So anyways, it's at the Museum of Science and Industry. The cost is expensive. It's $125 per ticket. But it's open bar.
Okay.
So, so it's free drinks. So you can drink to your little heart's content. It's open museum, which the museum itself is kind of expensive, plus all the other like different exhibits cost money. And then there's also food. They're having like hors d'oeuvres type things and crap like that.
Snails.
Yeah, right. Yeah, a lot of snails. Horse do Irvies. But the cool thing is like, well, it says here, it says wedge salad, Angus beef and sharp cheddar sliders, barbecue pulled pork sliders, Southwest black bean sliders with avocado cream, vegan.
You had me with sliders,
right? Man. Three cheese mac and cheese, dude, right there. House made kettle chips and Finnegan's ice cream salon. Now, the ice cream salon is awesome because I had the ice cream the time before whenever I did it with the union and stuff like that. In addition to the open bar and live casino games, we have a great schedule of live music, including the following DJs: DJ Elliot, with MCs Mark Daniel and David Collins, which, David Collins.
Is DJ Screw gonna be there?
DJ Screw is not listed. But live performances from Darth Elvis and the Imperials, and live performance from Wesley and the Crushers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you gotta do, tell me you're doing this, right?
Oh, God, yeah, yeah. My ticket's already purchased. I mean,
that, the experience of just having all those different groups together in one place, all this stuff you have access to, how long does it last? I mean, you're there it's for...
from 8 to 2 a.m.
Yeah, yeah. It's, so that's kind of worth it. It is worth it. It does. It is expensive.
It is expensive, but whenever you think about the museum being completely, totally open, the open bar, the food, the entertainment. Not only that, there's also like casino games that's Cano Bite themed, and there's like a special set of casino chips. So now I've got like another crazed thing that I'm going to be looking for is like possibly getting a set of these casino chips.
Oh yeah.
Which it's already starting, man. Like it's already starting because like they released, you know, Toy Fair has been going this weekend in Chicago, not Chicago, but in New York. Right. Mm-hmm. And they released the Celebration exclusive. Or Hasbro released their Celebration exclusive, and now it's like, crap. Yeah, it's starting to where it's like, okay, I've got to get this. Because it's the 20-year anniversary of Phantom Menace. Now, I know a lot of people cringe from that or whatever, but the Celebration exclusive is super cool. I don't know if you remember the toys that came out at that point in time, but they had the card that had the Darth Maul face on it, and it was kind of like cut out, kind of designed or whatever around like the Darth Maul face.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the 6-inch figures that are being released, like my Luke's up here, there's going to be two of them. It's going to be an Obi-Wan and a Darth Maul. And, of course, this Padawan Obi-Wan with his little Padawan braid and short hairdo and Ewan McGregor face and stuff like that. And then Darth Maul, but just like the Darth Maul that I have over here. But mm-hmm. The face is going to be changed on it. He's back here behind me. He's going to be down on this other shelf that you can't see right now. But he's going to be it's photorealistic face. So it's technically a new figure because they've changed the face sculpt on it, but it's still kind of the same figure because they changed still the same everything except for the face, except for the card. This time, instead of it being in a box like what the other six inch figures have been, it's going to be on a card like my Luke's up there, and it's going to be the Phantom Menace card, but it's all kind of like holographic dyes or whatever slash it looks really, really nice. Really cool. So
yeah, I like it.
That's going to be
it's ramping up to that.
Yeah, it's gonna
decision time.
Yeah, well, it's gonna be a lot of lack of sleep because this is the first night, or Thursday, April 11th is the first day of the convention. Well, on that day, there's no panels or anything like that going on. All the panels and things like that start on Friday, and they go from Friday to Monday because it's a 5-day convention. It starts Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday is the final day. They said Thursday is just kind of like the showroom floor is open. There's nothing else going on, so that's your day to do all your shopping. Whereas I'm going to be going in there probably getting a few things, but it's going to be so crowded on that showroom floor because there's not going to be any panels going on. So I was actually looking at this going, man, this thing is from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m., and I'm probably going to be getting up early on Friday so that way I can either, A, get into, like, the main Celebration like panel that they do to where it's like, hey, Celebration's now open, blah blah blah. This is where they make like big announcements. It's usually Kathleen Kennedy up there and probably have JJ Abrams, since it'll be
title reveal
and a blasted trailer or teaser trailer or something like that. And then the other
Jar Jar Binks, return of the Jar Jar.
Actually, man, I would love to see a Jar Jar action figure, a 6-inch action figure. I would actually like to see that just because they haven't done one yet. Mm-hmm. And they've got some really cool episode 1 action figures coming in this next year or whatever. So I would really dig that. Like they've got I pre-ordered them the other day. I spent like $131 on action figures whenever I got a vacation that's all about Star Wars coming up in less than 2 months now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sickness, dude. It's a sickness. But, man, we've been going for an hour and 30 now. So
hour and 30.
I think it's time to wrap it.
Yeah.
Plus, my butt's getting tired of sitting in this chair. I need to get more comfortable chairs in here for us.
If they're too comfortable, I'll just fall asleep.
Bro. I know it, right? Yeah. Anyways, I think that's going to do it for us. So, let me get down here, because I closed my notes because I was pulling that stuff up, and I can't find out where my devil with it. We're just going to go off the cuff. If you like the show, help us grow. Go by, rate us, and write a review. Just remember,
we like 5 stars.
Yes, be kind. Make the reviews good. I did see that we have a new review. And it's somebody I don't know. So it's like, hey, that's awesome. But yeah, it was pretty
it a 1-star review?
No, it was a 5-star review. So somebody's doing good work out there. Well, so just imagine us saying thank you and patting you on the back. We do appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us between shows, you can do that at If you want to get in touch with us between shows, you can do that by emailing us at the number 2btshow@gmail.com. That's 2btshow@gmail.com. Or Twitter. Guess what? The Twitter name is the same thing. The number 2btshow. That's the number 2btshow. Go to www.nerdylegion.com/audible. Sign up for Audible. Get you 2 free books and a month free member service. You don't have to keep the membership, but you get to keep the books. But as we say every week, you're going to keep the service because it's amazing.
I was talking to Paul the other night about how I got really obsessed with podcast listening a few years back, to where that took over what I spent my time listening to was all, you know, I enjoyed it because I got to learn new things. I got to learn about things I didn't understand. I got to learn about things that I did understand or know about. It was like really fun, but it got to where I stopped listening to music. That's when I started losing my time that I would have to read at home. It was like late at night or if everybody else is asleep. Audible has made it to where I'm cruising through books now, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The last 2 years, well, not even 2 years, just over a year since I started the Audible, using Audible, I've read more than I probably have read in the last 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Like, and that's what's crazy. It's like, I have such a vast Audible collection of books because I've been an Audible customer probably 10 years now, man, if not over 10 years, that I can honestly say that I've read more books, and I use the term read because I've listened to more books than what a lot of my friends who are avid readers have read in their entire lifetime. And I got a late start on it, you know? So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just good times.
It's good times.
Love it. I love it.
We are not paid to do this.
No, not at all.
We do this ad for Nerdy Legion for, you know, we don't get anything out of this.
No.
So we're saying we love this.
This is honest yes. opinions here. I'm not receiving any money at all to do this. This is just all out of the love of Audible.
You click and sign up. Some money might get eventually passed into helping the network servers and all that Martin has to do.
Oh, yeah.
Because God knows that's not
Yeah, I'm not cheap. Complaining. Let me tell you, I'm not complaining about not getting any money for doing the Audible
commercials. I don't
want
it. I love it.
I don't want it because this is how much I would do an Audible commercial even if there wasn't one for Nerdy Legion.
We pretty much do every week anyhow.
Right, exactly.
This doesn't have to be a scripted thing. We do.
We should just change the name of the podcast.
The Audible podcast.
The Audible podcast.
What did you listen to this week?
Yeah. I listened.
That's a good name, because right? What did you watch this week?
Yeah.
Then what did you listen to this week?
That sounds great to me, man. I like it.
And I'm really wanting to get a Graham Hancock
book. I know it.
But I just don't know which one to start with before this Ancient America comes out.
Yeah, no, I might just have to wait for another one of those sales and buy the extra. Well, they have those extra credits that you can buy like every month anyways. It's like 3 credits for like $30 or something like that.
Yeah,
might just have to do that and 11. Just get them all and then just kind of pick and choose which one you want to start with. But like I said, that's going to do it for us. Go by, sign up at Audible because it's amazing. I already gave you the address. But if not, I'll give it to you again. www.nerdylegion.com/audible. Sign up. They'll give you your month free plus the credits, and you'll never look back. Your life will never be the same again because you will never have a boring drive, a boring commute, a boring walk, a boring run because you'll always have something to listen to.
Absolutely.
Yep. The only time that your life will be boring is whenever you run out of Audible credits and you sit there and think, man, I should just go get more books.
Or just enjoy being bored and do something creative.
Exactly.
And then get more books.
With that being said, I'm David.
I'm Michael.
2BT. Oh, hey, everybody. Welcome to 2BT. I'm David.
I'm Michael.
We never did an intro.
So it goes.
Yeah, so it goes.
Adios.
Welcome, Diaz. Surprise!
Surprise.
Oh, I unplugged the headphones amp already. Here we go.
We're just winging here.
Yeah, now we're back.
You thought you were done with us. Well, you're not.
Right?
Revenge of the Dave.
Okay, man, let me see your hand. You got to try a little bit of this.
Just like a...
There you go.
Okay.
And now just taste it.
Yeah. I'm snorting this.
This is jalapeno salt. My life will never be the same after finding this.
Oh, man. Oh, good God.
Yeah, it's
got... That's a lot of flavor.
Yeah, it's extra fancy. It's made... It's Fiesta brand. It gets kind of warm, by the way. I think it's just because it gets so concentrated in one zone.
Oh, that's
on
a lot.
Tongue.
Yeah, you don't need a lot of that on anything.
No,
though.
You don't, but it's so good, man. I don't know if I'll ever be
the
same. Fiesta
brand extra fancy jalapeno salt.
And you can find that in like the Hispanic or the world section of like your just regular grocery store. I picked that stuff up at Walmart the other day.
I just thought of like 20 different ways I could use this.
Oh, God, yeah. No, I'm telling you, like, with this and garlic salt, I'll probably never use like regular salt ever again in my life. I would take this stuff and put it on regular potato chips, man.
Are you going to be one of those people, you know, I've seen people that carry like a
bottle of hot sauce and stuff?
A bottle of hot sauce with them.
I really think that this is now going to travel with me everywhere.
You know what? A nice piece of pepperoni pizza from Dave's, Double Dave's.
Oh, yeah.
With that with you. Sprinkle a little bit.
Whataburger french fries with this on it, dude.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, like, the general offices are in San Antonio, Texas, or you can go to www.fiestaspices.com and just order you some. So if you're up somewhere or if you're out of the state or if you're out of the state, I got it at Walmart, dude.
Okay.
It's in the Mexican food aisle, the Hispanic food aisle and stuff awesome. Like that or whatever. But yeah, it's Fiesta brand extra fancy jalapeno salt.
I put that on donuts.
Right. I'll yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's and you know it's that
eggs, chorizo eggs.
Oh yeah. And then dude, like another thing that I've found that well my pork will never be the same is this extra fancy pork rub. Now, I'm going to let you try some of this also. Let's see here. Now, it's oh shoot.
Woo.
That's a lot. Oh well. It's not spicy.
That's sweet.
It is, and it's got a strong cumin taste to it also.
Mm, well,
but the cumin
a lot in that.
Yeah, you can just dust it off over there in the carpet.
I don't want to do that.
Okay. But I will say there's a lot of cumin in it, but the cumin also cooks out of it, like because it does have a hard
salt,
cumin flavor.
Sugar, brown sugar, spices. I know it's spices. What spices?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess this is the stuff that they don't want you to know. They want to hide
chili
it from
peppers,
you.
Garlic, onions. Oh my God, that's a lot of flavor too, though.
Dude, it's great. I put some of this. I bought some. It was just like a little bit over a pound of the country style pork ribs or whatever. So there's no like bone in them or whatnot. I think it's just kind of like it's kind of rib meat. Tastes like rib meat. I don't know what the country style ribs are, you know, but it's basically rib meat without any bone in it. Like separated it because I don't need a whole pound of meat. So I took a half a pound and I cooked that and took the other half pound and froze it. Well, I doctored them both up with this before I used them. And dude, that one's, and I'm making my mouth water here because I used it yesterday. Yeah. I cooked them yesterday after they'd been frozen for a few days. Ooh, man, that rub getting to sit on there for
finding
a few days.
The right good seasoning is so important.
Yeah. And I used this jalapeno salt and this stuff on that pork. Oh, dude, it was good stuff.
Oh,
and this
nachos.
Is, yeah. Oh, dude, yeah. And this is also, it's just Fiesta brand extra fancy pork rub. And like I said, this was something that I wanted to talk about, and I completely, totally forgot I had it sitting over here. I had it hidden because I was going to surprise Michael with it because I got it the other day.
You know what would go well with that is you get your DJ Screw, Screw Southern Soda, Hella Yella, and they've got another like cream soda version.
Really?
Yep. Not brought to you by either of these products.
No, we just
we
love them.
Talk about what we love.
But yeah, go to www.fiestaspices.com. If you live out of the Texas, I don't know if I don't know if they sell these in other parts of the country. So that's the reason why I'm saying. And they've got some really good fajita seasoning.
I'm sure you can. I bet you can order it.
You totally can go online and order it. They've got great fajita seasoning. That's what I use for my fajitas a lot of times. So if you're out of the country or if you're out of the state and you can't get these or whatever, just go to their website and pick them up, man. You trust me, you won't be disappointed.
No.
Yeah.
No, my mouth is just so still just tingling.
Yeah. Like I said, dude, I started talking about the stuff that I made last night. My mouth started watering here. I was like, man, I need more pork. Anyways, okay, guys. For real, no. We're leaving this time. I'm David.
I'm Michael.
2BT. Signing off.
Adios.
Bye, con Diaz.
Oh, boy.
So good.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boo.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.